This is CliffCentral.com.
All right, let's get Anthea in here. Let's talk about money. Shall we?
Yeah.
All right. By the way, Monday morning, so we've got the money shot. We've got a couple of other interesting things happening today. I'll tell you about those in a moment. And Anthea Gardner's here, so we need to obviously play her song, which is the, for some people, it's the highlight of their whole day. This is what they, so let's play the original. I like the original, Donna Summer. Bring it on. Here we are, Anthea Gardner with the money shot. Someone sent me a photo of your book that they bought over the weekend. And they said they bought it purely on the recommendation that I put there, where I said, she works hard for the money, so hard for it, honey. That's
brilliant.
The reason they bought it. So there we go. All right, so Anthea, what's happening in the world of money?
Well, before I get to the money, happy birthday, Gareth.
Yes, and thank you for bringing me a present. You're very sweet.
But did you get what the present is?
No.
It's a money tree.
Let me see. Hang on.
Well, it's a plant, but it's one of those.
Oh, look at that.
It's this, like, you know how Asians have different everythings, like superstitions for everything?
Yes.
I discovered that this one, oh, careful, it's just a
beautiful
plant. That this one, they believe, brings luck and money. So basically, it's
so hard for it, honey.
There you
Thank
go.
You. That's fantastic. Thanks, Anthea.
Right. So to the markets.
Okay.
Sure. I mean, this is not the best environment to be managing money in, let me tell you.
Yeah.
Global markets last week were really just wait and see. Volumes were very low and just everywhere, up, down, just all over the place. And you know why? Because the president of the United States of America has become a little flip-flopper.
Oh, boy.
Have you got the clip I sent Sia?
Yes.
Please play it.
Donald Trump.
And then...
Yeah, listen to this. All right.
Payroll tax is something that we think about, and a lot of people would like to see that.
I'm not looking at a tax cut now. We don't need it. We have a strong economy.
A lot of people have been talking about indexing for many years, and it's something that I am certainly thinking about.
I'm not looking at doing indexing, and I haven't been seriously looking at it, but certainly it is an option if I wanted to.
So he can't make up his mind.
The man's giving me whiplash. He literally on Tuesday was saying, right, we're going to cut payroll taxes and indexing is basically all about capital gains tax. And then on Wednesday, 24 hours later, came back and said, no, we're not going to cut payroll taxes. I mean, I get that they can't cut it. They've got R1 trillion in debt. Trust me, that government cannot afford to cut taxes, right? Where else are they going to get money to pay this debt? But the point is, he just, 24 hours. That was literally 24 hours. Anyway, markets got hit pretty badly. Cyclical's the worst hit. And then, of course, he said, This deal with China is probably not going to happen. And he's adding an additional, he's upping the tax or the tariffs from 20 to 25%, adding another $250 billion.
Oh, come on.
And that starts on the 1st of October. By Friday, the Chinese government had turned around and said, well, in that case, we are just going to impose retaliatory tariffs. And if you dare raise tariffs on Chinese goods, well, guess what? We're going to raise tariffs on U.S. goods up to the value of, what was it, $75 billion. So they're just going to put up tariffs by an additional 5 to 10% on its 5,000 odd goods. I mean, it's just getting out of hand. And then, of course, this whole thing with Trump not going to meet the prime minister of Denmark because Greenland is not up for sale.
Yeah, that was just bizarre.
Throwing his toys. How peculiar is this man?
Well, he is. He's very peculiar. And I do think that this is a major blunder on Trump's part. This whole Chinese trade tariff situation, you've discussed from the beginning. You know I think that tariffs are a terrible idea. Government does not create an economy. Government create the conditions for an economy. Businesses create an economy. And it's something our government here still have to learn. But Trump should know this.
So that's so interesting because everybody, we all say Trump should know, you know, the US is
clearly
the biggest economy on the globe, and so they should have. But he doesn't know. He's no better than any other emerging market government.
But we thought, because he was in business before, that he would know that all government need to do to make business as successful as possible is stay out of the way. Instead, now that he's the government, he's trying to get involved.
That makes me very nervous, because when you said he was in business before, he should know. Cyril Ramaphosa was in business before.
That's exactly my point.
So let's see what happens there. Have you been seeing all the pictures of them at the G7? Oh, very smart.
Well, I saw a very funny picture of Trump and Boris pointing at each other. And I just thought, because, you know, they're both clowns. Like, they're both fairly hilarious people. And with their strange hair and, like, they're just weird guys. Mm. And now they're in charge, basically, of the world's economy.
Oh, it's scary.
It's like the lunatics are in charge of the asylum.
Oh, literally, yes. Yeah. I remember that from the 80s.
Tell us more.
Okay, and then back home, Moody's issued a statement in the week saying that they believe that South Africa's government will try to absorb the additional support for Eskom Holdings. They also went on to say...
What does that mean? That we're going to have to pay for this?
Well, we already pay for it.
Yeah, I mean, but what is Moody's trying to do? They're saying something that's obvious.
Yes, so Moody's are saying, well, so the government already underwrites or guarantees Eskom's debt. So if I buy Eskom bonds and Eskom defaults, in fact, the government will pay me. Well, probably not 100 cents on the rand, but certainly some cents on the rand. And Moody's are saying that the government will continue to do this and maybe take it on their balance sheet themselves. And they're waiting for the October midterm budget, although they did go on to say that government doesn't actually have that much room to maneuver. Right, so it's all very scary. I think they're setting us up for the downgrade, basically.
Yeah, which we knew was inevitable, especially because they just haven't got this Eskom thing right.
Well, we all thought it was inevitable, but they just kind of wouldn't do it, right? They kept on giving us a stay of execution and kept delaying it, and now maybe this is it. Anyway, some good news, yay. Mm-hmm.
Come on, give it to
July us. July CPI inflation came in at 4% compared to June's reading of 4.5%, so well below the South African Reserve Bank's expectations. They were expecting 4.4% for July, and so we have another MPC meeting coming up. Oh, I don't actually know when it is. Must be third Thursday of September, because was the last one July?
Yeah,
must have been. So it'll be the third Thursday of September, and hopefully we'll get a rate cut. That's my good news. Shall I stop there?
No, I think that's really terrific. But
and stop talking.
But there are interesting things going on in the economy generally, and I think that a lot of people in the world are just nervous about where to put what money they have, because at the moment there just isn't a clear, you know, clear case for any particular thing.
Okay.
If you were in America and you did have stocks and shares, now with this supposed capital gains tax change, which Trump is flip-flopping about, you might not get the kind of returns that you'd want before.
And don't forget, their bonds are pricing their 10 years, 1.6%.
Right.
So it's not negative yet, but there's a lot of talk that it will go negative. I don't think that US bonds will go negative in a hurry. I mean, from 1.6 yield to negative is a massive step. You know, it's kind of, it seems small in nominal kind of 2% terms, but in relative terms, it's huge. German bonds are already negative. Swiss bonds have been negative for years. And I think the point is exactly what you were saying, Gareth, is that where do we put our money now?
Yeah.
So I look every single day at the stock market, and then Trump tweets and wastes my time, but complete all my theories out the window when he tweets, but never mind.
Yeah.
That's not my point I'm trying to make. The point I'm trying to make is that equities are very volatile. South African shares are so cheap at the moment, but there is no catalyst for growth. There's no reason for them to increase, right? And so already we've seen a huge move from shares, people with big share portfolios moving into fixed income, into bonds, which in South Africa, you're still getting a decent yield. You know, so on my money market fund, you're getting about 7.4% at the moment, which is almost double what the banks are offering you right now.
Right.
And that's fairly risk-free. And the point I was trying to make about bonds and yields is that the reason they are negative yields is because actually people are happy to pay banks for a safe haven for their cash. So in a recession, cash is kind of king. And even if you are paying somebody to look after your cash, it seems to be an okay thing to do at the moment, which is such an interesting phenomenon in the economy, because it doesn't happen that often. You know, it's kind of, I don't know when last we had negative yields on government bonds. I'll have to go and look that up. It'll be interesting to see. And then, as I was saying, you know, like, shares at the moment are so cheap. And last week, again, we saw a couple of shares report. We had ShopRite and Mr. Price. And this really talks to this low CPI inflation number, because one of the problems, kind of especially with ShopRite and food inflation, is because food inflation is decreasing, the shops can't pass inflation on to their clients. So imagine you're paying wages, and then you're increasing wages by, let's say, 4 to 6% around inflation, but you're not getting an increase in revenue because there's no inflation on the products that you're selling. Good for the consumer that you're not passing on this inflationary pressure from wages, but not from external. So they're kind of in this very difficult spot at the moment. ShopRite's earnings fell in the region of 20%.
Good Lord, that is bad.
Shocking, hey? Yeah. And there's almost nothing...
Really, the last 10 years have done Christo Visa no good.
Shame this man.
5 years, the last 5 years, yeah.
He's suffering a little bit. Well him and his billions are suffering.
Sure, so tough.
Yeah. And then Mr. Price also reported, again, we saw a slowdown in sales for the first 4 months of the financial year. And again, they're saying not much they can do, slowing economy, a squeeze on the consumer. They did say, though, this was interesting, I noted, that they were seeing early signs from spring and summer sales. Mm. So people are shopping for spring and summer. Where they're getting the money from, I'm not sure. But people are shopping at Mr. Price.
Wow.
Fast fashion, here we come.
All right, good.
Now you know what to look forward to for this year's season.
Any news at this point in terms of consumer spending is good news. Because I think the retail industries have taken such a knock.
You're spot on. And in fact, the spending, we saw the number come in not last week, the week before, was slightly higher than we were expecting. So I think there does seem to be a little bit of a turn in the consumer sentiment. Suddenly, you know, we got a 0.25% interest rate cut a month ago, a month and a half ago, and suddenly the consumer feels flush. Mm-hmm. Very good.
All right, very nice. Thank you.
Pleasure. Have a good week.
We probably should have mentioned one or two of the stories from outside of our own economy, and maybe talk about Africa's Amazon Jumia, which is one of the companies that I know that you wanted to talk about. What happened to them?
So they're called Africa's Amazon because that's kind of what they're claiming that they're going to do. But the share
retailer, right?
Yeah, that's right. The share fell 16% in one day. I think it was on Tuesday or Wednesday.
Sure.
After they said that salespeople were stuffing the pipeline. So basically, they've got salespeople saying, okay, I've got $100 million worth of orders. But when the orders actually come through, it's only $50 million worth. Oof. And basically, that's what it's all about. So not looking good. You know, it's hard to imagine that Africa could create an Amazon. We just don't have the internet infrastructure that they have in the developed world.
Yeah, I still think that we're not there yet.
Yeah, you know?
We're not there yet. And you can even see it with local businesses like Take a Lot and those kinds of things. They're growing, but they're not growing exponentially. You know, they're growing slowly.
Absolutely. That's right, yes.
All right. Thank you very much.
My pleasure. Have a good week.
Good stuff. Anthea Gardner, very nice to speak to you, and thank you for my present, my money plant.
This is CliffCentral.com.